I'm going to call the meeting to order. If you are here, please check in on the computer. A little light turnout tonight. We have 23 board members present. That is a quorum. So let's continue at this point with the, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance, actually.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible.
And if you could remain standing for a moment, as you'll notice on the agenda we have here, we're going to have a moment of silence for a supervisor who died last week, Tom Rourke, who I think many, if not all of you, know. Tom was our second vice chair prior to leaving to move over to central Wisconsin. Good friend to many of us, and he'll be greatly missed. So I'd like to have a moment of silence for Tom. Thank you. In following up on that, I do have one little bit of information. There will be a memorial celebration for in memory of Tom for anybody who is interested this Saturday at the Rourke residence on County Road A in Amherst Junction over in central Wisconsin. I'll have this up here at the front if anybody is interested, and also pass around the Flower Fund donation envelope. We're getting a little light on that for things like this. I understand also that there will be a memorial at some later date to be announced here in La Crosse, so we'll keep people apprised of that too. Dennis, could I get you to start this going around? Ask people to be generous in that respect. All right. What I would like to do, if people are agreeable, is to pick and choose on the agenda here. We are already shorthanded because of the weather, and some people need to leave to get sworn in across the way and other places. So what I'd like to do is get through the things that need votes, and then, not that he's less important, but have our administrators report a little bit later along with the Western Wisconsin CARES report. There is one thing that we need to do initially, however, and that is to decide on the public hearing date for redistricting in May, and I need you to pull out your calendar in that respect. And Jeff Blesky, could you come up to the podium? Jeff, can you tell the board what we're doing and the time frames and parameters and so forth?
Certainly. This next Tuesday, April 26th, the redistricting committee is going to be taking a look at three different sets of plans, one for the 27, one for the 29, and one for the 31 supervisory districts. There will be three samples of each one that will be pinned up on the wall. This is going to be up in room 3220. On May 9th, the county board is going to be meeting as a planning committee. And I'll be doing a presentation on the 9th to all of you on a plan that hopefully the committee will recommend as a tentative plan. So sometime between May 9th and the county board meeting, which is May 19th, the law requires you to hold a public hearing on this tentative plan. So we have not picked a place because we don't have a date. So sometime between May 9th and May 19th, we're looking for a public hearing date that works for a majority of you.
Given that we have planning meetings typically on Mondays, how would Monday the 16th work for people that day? I see heads nodding. Anybody, is that problematic for people, anybody at all? Wow. That was lucky. All right. Monday, May 16th, we'll start at 6 o'clock, our usual time. That all right? Great.
In this room again?
Sit tight. We'll get back to you on what the location will be. Not likely this room.
Okay.
All right. Monday, May 16th.
Okay.
Public hearing, 6 p.m. Thanks, Jeff. All right. John Menninger.
Well, more of a comment. I was running in here tonight, running a little bit late, and I came in the front door, and it was locked. This building isn't locked when the county board is meeting, is it? I mean, there's always that south entrance that's open, but the main door on the front on 4th Street? No, this is a public meeting.
Public,
I think that this building ought to be open if we're inviting the public here. That's that I just did that right now, and I just think that if we're having county board meetings, every door should be open. I
can answer that. For the last 10 or 11 years now, all of the doors are signed that they're locked from, or they're open from 8 until 5, and the only door that's open at night for meetings is the south entrance. So,
certainly by board vote, we could change that. If people aren't comfortable with that, we certainly can change that. Okay, sure. We can talk about it maybe at executive committee. The NPAF?
One question here. Have they narrowed it down? He said that the concern is just so many districts.
The redistricting committee decided on either 27, 29, or 31, and we wanted to see what the maps look like.
That's how far along you are.
It'll be one of those three numbers unless something dramatic changes, but that is the committee's expectation to be 27, 29, or 31. And we'll bring one of those. So there are 9 plans currently. One will come to the board. All right. If people are okay, I would ask for unanimous consent to jump down to appointments. Any objection to that? Seeing none, we'll do that.
Chairman Doyle.
Thank you. I have a number of appointments that are listed on the agenda, probably a dozen or so, and I'd ask for approval of those.
Been moved by Chairman Doyle to make the indicated appointments. Is there a second? Seconded by Supervisor Weers. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Those appointments are made unanimously.
Thank you. Consent agenda, moved by Roger Plesha, second by Arlene Benrud to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion or comments, questions on that? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Then next is aging and long-term care. Roger Plesha.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, wait, one thing before we start losing people. On your desk are 2 things, a conflict of interest statement and a code of ethics statement, which we would like you to fill out and hand in tonight before you leave. We need to get those in so that the auditor doesn't give us a hard time that we're missing things. So please work on that tonight. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Plesha. Thank you.
Thank you. I have item 4-18, Protect Senior Care Program. Whereas Senior Care saves Wisconsin seniors money every day with a $30 annual enrollment fee, co-payments ranging from $5 to $15 and no gaps in coverage, and whereas Senior Care provides more comprehensive and less expensive coverage than Medicare Part D, whereas Senior Care saves taxpayers money every day, since the average annual cost per enrollee is $588 for 2009, less than half of the $1,690 spent by the federal government to subsidize Part D in 2009, and whereas Senior Care negotiates lower drug prices and saves $50 million in 2009 alone, and Senior Care has $20 million surplus, and the state of Wisconsin wants to use it to plug their deficits, and whereas the state plan to change Senior Care will boost drug companies' profits at the expense of Wisconsin seniors, because Medicare Part D does not negotiate drug prices. Most Wisconsin seniors enrolled in Senior Care would see the cost of their medicines rise, and Wisconsin would no longer receive drug rebates and through negotiation. Now, therefore, it be resolved La Crosse County Board supports continuation of Senior Care Program to save 1,640 seniors enrolled from La Crosse County and 92,000 seniors enrolled in Senior Care statewide, a minimum savings of $1,102 annually for each enrollee, and La Crosse County Board rejects the idea to use Senior Care to wrap around program for Medicare Part D. Be it therefore resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to Wisconsin Counties Association, area legislators, and the Governor Scott Walker. Fiscal note, aging unit projects the annual cost savings for La Crosse County would be at least $1,807,280 and statewide over $101 million. I move for its approval.
Moved by Mr. Plesha. Is there a second? Seconded by Audrey Cotter. Any discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
I have resolution 4-19, support of transit. Whereas transportation is a vital service in La Crosse County in the state of Wisconsin and enables thousands of citizens to either give them a means of transportation, seniors and disabled, and those with limited incomes to live lives and remain independent. And whereas transit boosts economic growth that enables spending to retail, healthcare, education, and recreation, and on average provides an economic return of $3.61 for every $1 invested. And business count on public transportation to deliver workers to their jobs. And whereas transit is a crucial component of Wisconsin's transportation infrastructure, and it is essential that the state transit funds used for shared tax rides, fixed route buses, and complementary paratransit systems should not be moved out of the transportation segregated fund to the general purpose fund. And whereas maintaining previously authorized RTAs and encouraging the establishment of additional RTAs where appropriate will ensure the availability of public transportation at the time when the population is aging and the price of gasoline is rising, and both may increase the demand for public transportation. Whereas La Crosse cannot afford to lose federal funding for MTU, $2 million, half of the annual budget, or $46.6 million statewide due to elimination of collective bargaining and loss of federal funding will inhibit state aids used as match. Now, therefore, it be resolved the Crosse County Board supports continuing to find ways to coordinate and adequately fund public transportation and human services transportation, keeping it in the segregated transportation fund. Further be it resolved, the copy of this resolution be sent to Wisconsin Counties Association, area legislators, and Governor Scott Walker. Fiscal note, the aging unit projects the annual loss to La Crosse County would be at least $7.22 million, and statewide losses would be at least $93.2 million. I move for its approval.
Moved by Mr. Plesha, second by Monica Cruz. Any discussion or questions on this one? Ralph Geary.
How do they, what does that fiscal note mean? Or how do they figure it out or whatever?
Steve or Gary, do you have that answer?
I thought Noreen was going to be here, so I don't have the exact number in front of me, but my understanding is that it includes both the impact to MTU as well as all forms of transit are put in jeopardy because not all communities have extended their collective bargaining agreements.
And that it will
impact the overall fund for the whole state.
Yeah. It wasn't like La Crosse County got $7.22 million. It was scattered amongst different units of government.
That's
in La Crosse County?
That's
okay.
My understanding.
If it's different, you can inform us at the next meeting.
Leon Paff.
Yes, I was wondering, with all of these, how many other counties are sending in resolutions? Like, do you have any idea you have no idea if it's a high percentage, low percentage of counties that are asking the governor for this, or are we standing alone, or is it 10% or 70% or 90%? Or
on this particular issue, I'm not aware because this is not one of the top, I believe, six or seven priorities the WCA has identified. Various counties are more or less concerned about transit issues. The other top issues include many of the other resolutions that we have on.
And would you add then, as we're going along, that you know a percentage of them that are with the other resolutions here, too? Just give us an idea how many other counties are in with us. Are we a minority or a majority, or if you know? Thank you.
Other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
I have item 4-20. Preservation of legislative oversight for Medicaid changes, Medicaid Badger Care Plus, senior care, family care. Whereas current Medicaid and Badger Care Plus enrollment in La Crosse County is 18,680 and 920,861 statewide. Whereas Medicaid services those who are the most medically needy and the most financially needy, the frail, the elderly, and the disabled, and whereas while recognizing the changes to Medicaid are necessary to become more cost-effective, with taxpayer dollars, these changes require a thoughtful process that weighs consequences and anticipates savings. With anticipated savings that circulates long-term and short-term and long-term savings, weighs the human cost along with the dollars and cents. And whereas the state planned to change Medicaid programs without oversight, with legislator putting too much power in the executive branch, would, without existing division of power, legislative oversight, which puts 920,861 Wisconsin citizens at risk at receiving needed health care, and taxpayers at risk of increased long-term health care costs due to the availability of Medicaid services to treat chronic and acute diseases and conditions. Now, therefore, it be resolved the Cross County Board supports continuation of the current procedures, which require legislative oversight, public input to make changes to Medicaid programs, and which serve 18,680 of the most vulnerable citizens of La Crosse County. The La Crosse County Board rejects the proposal to concentrate the power to make unilateral changes to Medicaid programs by Walker administration and the Secretary of the Department of Health Services. Be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to Wisconsin Counties Association, area legislators, and Governor Scott Walker. Fiscal note, major changes in Medicaid eligibility without legislative oversight will have a negative financial impact on clients and counties. However, the effect of those costs is impossible to determine at this time. I move forward, sir.
Moved by Roger Plesha, seconded by Bev Mock. Any discussion or questions on this one? Margaret Wood.
Just some wording that I think helps understand it, because we've got so many commas and phrases. So I would like to amend the fourth whereas to say, whereas the state plan to change Medicaid programs without oversight from the legislature transfers too much power to the executive branch without maintaining existing division of power or legislative oversight, putting 920,861 Wisconsin citizens at risk of not receiving needed health care, and putting taxpayers at risk of increased long-term health care costs due to lack of availability of medical services to treat chronic and acute diseases or conditions. We were having trouble at Health and Human Services. We weren't quite sure what without existing division of power was, as it is written here. So I just, it's just a
an amendment offered by Margaret Wood. Is there a second? Second by Bev Mock. Margaret, that is really to clarify is what you're saying. It's not to change the intent. It's to clarify.
Right.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the amendment? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Margaret, you need to write that out if you haven't. Thank you. Okay, any discussion on the resolution as amended? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Mr. Plesha? Thank you, sir. Executive Committee, Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 4-21 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding acknowledging the best of public service. Whereas the following employees, Sue Otten in veteran service 30-plus years, Lois Greschel, Clerk of Courts, 30-plus years, Ann A. Johnson, Highway Department, 30-plus years, Barbara During, Hillview Healthcare Center, 30-plus years, have been faithful part of providing the best of public service to La Crosse County, and whereas it is the wish of the County Board to acknowledge long and faithful service, now therefore be it resolved that a resolution extending our congratulations be recorded in the La Crosse County Board proceedings, and a certificate of our actions be presented as an expression of our gratitude. I move its approval.
Moved by Terry Johnson. Is there a second? Seconded by Bob Kyle. Any discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 4-22 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution to express support for the Indian Reservation Roads, or IRR, program. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors hereby supports the Department of the Interior Bureau of Indian Affairs Indian Reservation Roads Program as established under SAFETLU. Be it further resolved that the county clerk is directed to forward a copy of this resolution to the Wisconsin Counties Association, the Wisconsin County Highway Association, and La Crosse County's U.S. congressional representatives. The fiscal note is, while there's no immediate fiscal impact, there are 50 miles of Indian Reservation roads in La Crosse County that may be eligible for funding under the IRR program. I move its approval.
Moved by Terry Johnson, second by Leon Paff. Any questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 4-23 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding opposition to the provisions of the Governor's 2012-2013 proposed budget, which cut shared revenue to counties without providing any significant mandate relief or reform. Whereas the 2012-13 governor's budget reduces shared revenue payments to counties by $36.5 million beginning in 2012, estimated by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau to equal a cut of $1,006,010 to La Crosse County, reducing the allocation to roughly the amount we received in 1992. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board opposes the cut in county shared revenue in the governor's budget without providing any significant mandate relief or reform, and urges the governor and legislature to take the following steps to address the issue of unfunded and underfunded mandates on Wisconsin counties. Repeal changes in 2009 Act 28, public safety maintenance of effort requirements. Repeal changes in 2009 Act 28, prevailing wages laws. Provide an equitable share of court surcharges to counties to pay for state court operations. Repeal language in Wisconsin Statute 893.83, placing greater pothole liability on counties than state reduced and streamlined health and human service state reporting requirements, including common templates for assessment, allowing client contact by video to satisfy contact standards, and continue to work with counties for greater local flexibility in meeting state mandates, and revive and enable the county mandate waiver program to permit more local decision-making to implement cost-effective efficiencies and shared services. Be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to WCA area legislators and Governor Scott Walker. Fiscal note is La Crosse County is estimated to lose $1,006,010 of shared revenue in 2012. I move its approval.
Moved by Terry Johnson, second by Monica Cruz. Discussion or questions? Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. Would someone explain to me the last, I guess, bullet point there, revive and enable the county mandate waiver program? Did we ever have a program like that?
It was in a budget a few years ago.
In Mr. Chair, members of the board, that was back in 2004. You'll recall that counties all across the state participated in asking for waivers of individual rules that we could consolidate and become more efficient and effective. And by any measure, less than 1% of the applications were actually approved. In other words, the bureaucracy at the state level stood in the way of any kind of consolidation or efficiency that didn't have any great policy effect that individual counties were able to do. We applied for many of them. They were all rejected by the state bureaucracy. It's still in law. If they want to allow counties to become more streamlined, more efficient, and more effective, they should actually put teeth behind it and recommend that we actually get waivers approved rather than have to go through full legislative change each time we want those. There is a provision still on law that allows that to happen.
Ralph Geary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What was that repeal changes in prevailing wage laws? What does that mean? We wouldn't pay prevailing wages then, or what?
You recall, in the Public Works Committee was very involved in this transportation highway committee statewide, was very involved in the changes that were made by the most recent administration, the Doyle administration, changed the standard and required more work to actually meet prevailing wage, which is a competition between how we can actually control costs. Arlene, you know that highway that's been talked quite a bit at the statewide level. Ron could probably explain it a little bit more, our new highway commissioner. But again, it was just recently done this last biennium, and it restricts the ability for counties to actually compete and do work and actually increases our costs, as you recall. For example, at the assisted living facility, we had to meet prevailing wage laws, and it actually drove up some of our costs and eliminated a number of bidders from that project.
Okay, I still didn't quite get it, but I'm not going to belabor. When the employees paid that 50% of WRS, well, what did that save us or whatever, or wasn't that supposed to be a deduct from this? Or
That's not addressed in this issue. We're not taking a position on that. That seems to be law, and it was passed. What this resolution says is we oppose a cut in shared revenue that doesn't actually provide some accountability for reform or unfunded mandates. Right. This doesn't address, nor does it oppose or take a position on what has passed in state law to shift WRS to employees. And as you know, we've got labor contracts that agree with that for January 1st.
Right. I thought when they passed it, they said this was supposed to be one of the offsets.
That's correct, and there's debate all across the state of whether or not it's sufficient.
Well, what was that amount then? Do we know the amount? Did Gary or any for all the employees?
Gary, do you know the answer?
Well, the projected savings that we come up with for WRS is only $872,000. That's the tax levy effective savings.
Other discussion or questions? Chuck Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The governor, when he cut our shared revenue, there was a promise. I thought there was a promise relief of mandates. Has the administrator found anything in the budget that was mandated relief? I mean, I've seen him say that about two or three times on TV. It's kind of stuck with me now. What are the mandated relief? Is there any?
The three that I've been able to identify are the one of shifting WRS to employees, eliminating collective bargaining for most employee groups except protective service, and the recycling mandate. I've been unable from any WCA source or otherwise to see any other mandate relief on any issue.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 4-24 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding opposition to funding cuts for child support in the 2011-2013 executive budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board opposes the cut in general purpose revenues for child support in the 2011-13 budget and urges Governor Scott Walker and the Wisconsin Legislature to restore the general purpose revenue funding for child support activities in the state of Wisconsin at the 2011 funding levels of $8.5 million. Be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to WCA, area legislators, and Governor Scott Walker. The fiscal note is the child support agency loses approximately $2 in federal funding for every $1 cut from GPR funding by the state of Wisconsin. Thus, a cut of $71,056 a year in state funding results in a loss of $208,988 annually for the child support budget because of the additional loss of federal funds. I move its approval.
Moved by Terry Johnson, second by Jill Billings. Discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 4-25 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding honoring public employees, affirming support for collective bargaining, and calling for repeal of portions of Act 10. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board honors and respects the work of public employees and thanks them for their invaluable contribution to our quality of life through plowing our roads, keeping our families safe, maintaining our water services, staffing our libraries, maintaining our parks, preventing and putting out fires, maintaining our schools, and educating our children, as well as many other public services which strengthen our public structures. Be it further resolved that the La Crosse County Board affirms our support for public employees to organize and to bargain collectively and calls upon the legislature to repeal the portions of Wisconsin Act 10, known as the Budget Repair Bill, that eliminate public sector collective bargaining, and that a copy of this resolution be sent to the Wisconsin Counties Association, area legislators, and Governor Scott Walker. Fiscal note is there are no direct costs related to the passage of this resolution. However, establishing fair compensation of public employees within a respectful collective bargaining setting is critical to providing efficient services and the lowest cost to taxpayers. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Jim Burns. Discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. John, are you voting no?
Yes, it's stuck at Tara's desk. Item 4-.
There's less money in it now than there was when it first got to her desk, though. That resolution passes unanimously.
Item 4-26 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding opposing changes to same-day voter registration and opposing voter ID requirements in Wisconsin and specifically expressing opposition to Senate Bill 6. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors hereby opposes changes to same-day voter registration and opposes voter ID requirements in Wisconsin and specifically expresses opposition to Senate Bill 6. Be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to Governor Scott Walker, local legislators, and all Wisconsin County clerks. Fiscal note is the financial impact is difficult to estimate. The Government Accountability Board, or GAB, estimates the change will cost approximately $2 million for education, training, and an ad campaign. While there will be additional municipal costs for more copies, training election inspectors, educating the public, and perhaps additional temporary clerks, perhaps $500 per municipality. The impact on the county clerk's budget would be for provisional ballot paperwork and a countywide training session, approximately $1,000. Also, there is a potential impact on individuals to obtain copies of birth certificates to verify identity to apply for state-issued identification cards if the person doesn't hold a driver's license, which would perhaps increase revenue in the Register of Deeds office. I move its approval and ask to keep the floor.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Bridget Flood. Tara Johnson.
I just would ask, she doesn't know that I'm doing this, but I would ask that our county clerk be heard on this if she wishes to, because this resolution was written at her request.
Jenny, could you explain the impact as you see it?
The impact or the purpose? I mean,
both.
This resolution is created, or this voter ID is to fix a problem that doesn't really exist with voting fraud right now. As it says in the second whereas, the last presidential election out of 3 million votes, there was only 20 that were found to be fraudulent. 14 of those were for people who had felonies and were unaware that their voting rights were revoked. Two of the other ones were people who voted twice and they were caught. It's the biggest issue is not allowing student IDs to be used as part of the voting. It's going to cause students who don't live here to have to go home to vote absentee, or to get a Wisconsin driver's license. And the biggest issue is to get this ID, it might be free from the Department of Motor Vehicles, but you still have to pay $20 to get your birth certificate. So it's not really free. And if you don't live in Wisconsin or you weren't born in Wisconsin and you have to get it from California, that's 3-4 weeks out. We see that a lot of times with the marriage couples that come in. So it's not really going to be a free ID. They're going to have to get a birth certificate if they don't have one to obtain this ID to vote.
Okay. Thank you, Jenny. Jeff Schrader.
So you're saying if you're a resident of California, you live in Wisconsin, and you don't have your birth certificate, you can't vote by using your driver's license?
You can, but if you don't have a Wisconsin driver's license that's current, you need to get a current one, and if you don't have your birth certificate, you will need to pay to get a birth certificate to get that driver's license or your ID. It's not going to be free like they're saying.
Well, it seems to me that somebody should have a driver's license from the state they're living in anyway, where their residence is.
What about handicapped people that don't drive, the disabled people, the elderly who've given up their driver's license? A lot of the college kids that come still use their parents' address from out of state as their home address because they're moving every 6 months. It'd be expensive for them to continually to get new IDs.
Other discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. One no, Jeff Schrader. That carries.
Item 4-27 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding implementing county pickup of employee retirement contributions pursuant to 26 U.S. Code Section 414, Parent H, Parent 2. Now, therefore, be it resolved that pursuant to Section 414, Parent H, Parent 2, the La Crosse County Board hereby elects to implement an employer pickup of employee retirement contributions as to all county employees. Two, pursuant to this resolution, picked up contributions though designated as employee contributions to WRS, Wisconsin Retirement System, will be picked up on a pre-tax basis by the county in lieu of contributions by the affected employees, and the wages of such employees shall be reduced by a corresponding amount for current federal and Wisconsin income tax purposes, but not FICA purposes. Number three, amounts picked up by the county shall be paid from the same source of funds as used in paying the wages of the affected employees. Number four, amounts picked up by the county shall be treated for all purposes other than taxation on gross income in the same manner and to the same extent as employee contributions made prior to the effective date of this resolution. Number five, the affected employees shall not have the option of receiving the picked up amounts directly instead of having them paid by the county. Number six, the terms of this resolution shall be operative only so long as public employer pickups of employee retirement contributions continue to be excludable from employee gross employment under the Internal Revenue Service Code. Number seven, the La Crosse County Board makes no representations or guarantees regarding the tax or financial consequences of employer pickups to any particular employee contributing to WRS and hereby notifies all such employees to seek at their own expense appropriate financial, legal, or tax advice with respect to their particular financial questions or situation. Number eight, the terms of this resolution shall become effective on the effective date of 2011 Wisconsin Act 10 and will only be triggered if employees are required to make a mandatory employee contribution by salary reduction to WRS. Fiscal note is that the Wisconsin Retirement System mandatory employee contributions under Wisconsin Act 10 will be deducted from the employee's salary or wages, but will be considered picked up by the employer in accordance with the Internal Revenue Service Code and thereby treated as pre-tax contributions rather than after-tax contributions for income tax purposes. However, the employee contributions will be subject to Social Security and Medicare taxes. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson. Is there a second? Seconded by Bob Kyle. Bill or Steve, could you explain what this is all about since it's a fairly complex issue?
Well, yes. This is a income tax issue. With the employer paying the WRS contributions, are considered pre-tax, so those are amounts are not taxed. With the switch to the employee contributions of 5.8% and no language in the budget repair bill that made these contributions pre-tax, the initial opinion by the employee trust fund was that these contributions would be post-tax. The effect of that was to increase the cost to employees from 5.8% to anywhere to 8 to 9%, depending on the employee's tax bracket. So it increases the cost to employees significantly. Steve made us aware that Minnesota has a similar employee trust fund in which employee contributions are considered to be pre-tax. So we started asking questions. We got a law firm in Madison to research the question. They contacted ETF, who had initially said that these contributions were post-tax, but through their research, asking questions, looking at the Internal Revenue Code and Internal Revenue rulings, they determined that by passing a resolution of this type, that the contributions could be made pre-tax and thereby benefiting the employees. Subsequently, two other Wisconsin law firms have arrived at the same opinion, so we feel very confident that this is a legal means of accomplishing the pre-tax status. Ideally, the legislature will include a sentence or two in future legislation to clarify that in fact is pre-tax, like every other state that does that has a similar retirement plan. So
Bill, this saves employees substantial amounts of money and does not cost us anything, right?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. Questions or comments? Jeff Schrader.
But that was really not very clear to me anyway. So that means that this money isn't taxed, what it boils down to.
Well, it isn't taxed when the money goes into the trust fund. It is taxed when the employee, upon retirement, receives benefits. Then it is taxed. So it doesn't escape taxation forever. It just postpones it until retirement and until the employee starts to draw on that account.
Can any individual that belongs to a different retirement situation, can they have that done? It sounds to me like you really don't know if it's legal or not.
Yes, we are very confident that it's legal.
There are three law firms that said it's legal. Ralph Geary.
Under number 8 on that trigger, I thought we signed some union contracts. I thought that was, are you saying if this law becomes into effect before the trigger of our contracts kicks in, or how does that work?
Well, the collective bargaining agreements only protect union employees from for 2011. So when the law becomes effective, non-union employees will be subject to the 5.8% employee contributions. At that point, this law or this resolution will take effect, making for 2011 the non-union employee contributions. In 2012, every employee will be subject to this. The contract only covers them for 2011, and in 2012. Our union employees will also be subject to the 5.8% employee contribution.
Oh, I thought that was somehow referred to that court fight. If that thing drags on for an extended period of time, does January 1, 2012, because of our contracts, that would trigger even if they were still in a court battle? Is that what that means?
No, right now, yes. It is tied up. The injunction is still in effect. The Supreme Court is trying to make a decision as to whether or not to take those cases. We don't know what the effective date of this legislation will be, but at some point we expect it probably will become effective. So that's why we can't put in a specific date, because nobody knows when that might occur.
Well, my point was, on January 1st, 2012, if it's resolved in court or not, we've got some contracts that make reference to it. It'll be triggered off anyway if it's still being haggled or not, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's correct. The labor agreements, the unions have voluntarily agreed to make the 5.8% starting January 1 of 2012.
Other questions or discussion? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Ms. Johnson?
I hope so.
Thank you. Health and Human Services Board, Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have item number 428, adoption of complete streets policy for La Crosse County. Whereas complete streets have positive public health benefits, whereas complete streets enhance safe walking and bicycling options, whereas complete streets support economic growth and community stability, whereas complete streets reduce congestion and traffic while improving air quality, overall quality of life, and enhancing public safety by helping to reduce crashes and injuries, whereas complete streets have been adopted by the Metropolitan Planning Organization of La Crosse County and is referenced in the City County Strategic Plan for Sustainability. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby adopts the Complete Streets Policy as a guideline for considering and evaluating county road projects to serve all means of transportation in a safe manner. Fiscal note, it is difficult to precisely identify the increased costs of complete streets since this will be determined on a project-by-project basis, and many of the project improvements will qualify for state and federal funding. I move for its approval.
Moved by Sharon Hampson, second by Bev Mock. Any discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item number 429, opposing the governor's proposed state takeover and privatization of income maintenance administration, negatively impacting the elderly, poor, disabled, and hungry families. Whereas La Crosse and other Wisconsin counties have a long history of effectively administering the food share, Medicaid, and badge care income maintenance programs, with La Crosse County staff receiving numerous awards and La Crosse County being a leader in piloting regional county-delivered hub-based approaches to making IM administration more efficient and less costly. Whereas approximately 19,000 La Crosse County citizens, one in every six residents, rely on timely and accurate IM eligibility determinations for resources. Whereas the state of Wisconsin administers benefits through a centralized enrollment services center, which utilizes a combination of state and private staff, which largely eliminates face-to-face contact by more heavily relying on applications being submitted via computer and telephone, and which has performed so poorly that it is currently under a federal corrective action plan from the Federal Food and Nutrition Service with regards to food share administration. Whereas the governor's 2011-13 budget includes a state takeover of county IM administration, abruptly replacing the current county-delivered model with an expanded version of the failed public-private ERC model, which results in the loss of approximately 26 positions within La Crosse County and approximately $143,000 annually in revenue from indirect cost claiming, which adds 1,300 new, mostly Madison-based outsourced positions through expansion of a contract with HP Enterprise Services without a bidding process, which includes a role for private workers in the IM administration process that is not federally allowable. Whereas an analysis by the WCA shows that counties process cases more timely, more accurately, and at less cost to taxpayers, and that the increased cost of administration through the ESC would be $4.3 million. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors opposes the governor's proposed abrupt and poorly planned changes to IM administration and would oppose alternative proposals that would implement a redesign of IM administration without time for appropriate planning, analysis, input, and pilot testing. Be it further resolved, the county clerk shall mail a copy of this resolution to Governor Scott Walker, State Senator Dan Kopanky, Representative Schilling, the representative for the 94th, and Department of Administration Secretary Mike Hipsch.
Moved by Sharon Hampson.
That's not done.
Sorry.
It just goes on and on. Fiscal note, there are numerous negative economic impacts that could jeopardize access to food share benefits of over $1 million per month, Badger Care benefits of $10 million per month, plus the loss of 26 positions and $143,000 a year in federal revenue. I move its approval and ask to retain the floor.
Moved by Sharon Hampson, second by Jill Billings. Sharon Hampson.
This is something that sort of came out of the blue. And WICSA, the Wisconsin County Human Services Association, got involved kind of as a byproduct, and there was a lot of backroom work, and two counties came out with a plan, and it was all done without any true consideration. of changing policy. And after much objection by many of us in this room and others across the state, it seems as if the state will now back a regional plan, like we told them to. Nevertheless, we need to go on record as opposing the governor's plan because it could come back. The actions involved in this have just been so shady, we never know where it's at.
Further discussion or questions? Mr. Geary.
Just a comment. We used to get fiscal notes that were fairly clean. They added so much money to the budget, they detracted. They added something to the levy, detracted. When you get a fiscal note like this, I think it looks better if it's in the resolution. If you can't compute out the fiscal note, I don't know what that 100, for instance, the $143,000, does that go to the state then instead of us?
No, the $143,000 is indirect costs that we charge that program, so that's federal money coming directly to the general fund.
Right. Okay, but I don't know what the loss of 26 positions means and all this other stuff, but I think fiscal notes should be cleaner. You know, they should be like a dollar amount. It adds, it detracts, it does something else. This should be one of the whereases or now there or whatevers. But we're getting a lot of fiscal notes over the years, and Steve, remember from the Finance Committee, they were pretty clean cut. They were either a dollar amount up, down, and that was about it. But that's just a comment.
Sharon Hampson.
Well, there's nothing straightforward or clean cut about anything that's gone on with this proposal. That's why it's difficult to come down with an exact fiscal note, because nobody knows where it's going. The 26 jobs were referred to in the fourth whereas, and those are people that work here in La Crosse County. And the $143,000 annually is revenue from indirect cost claiming, blah, blah, blah.
Gary Engelson.
I would just like to echo what Sharon said. I was going to raise my hand right when she reached for the microphone. The governor's proposals and numbers have been so difficult to cost out. So we somewhat apologize for the vague fiscal notes, but it's difficult to get the correct numbers.
Other discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item number 430, opposing the proposed 10% cut to youth aids and increased juvenile correctional institution rate. Whereas the state of Wisconsin provides youth aids, funding which helps support the cost of juvenile justice services, whereas the services that youth aids fund are state mandates, with state law requiring counties to provide juvenile justice services, and has failed to keep youth aids allocations in pace with inflation and community needs. Whereas La Crosse County receives approximately $1.47 million in youth aids funding, whereas decreasing funding for community-based juvenile justice programs hurts troubled youth by taking away resources most likely to lead to their rehabilitation and hurts taxpayers by increasing the likelihood youth will end up in higher cost correctional or institutional placements. Now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors opposes the governor's proposed 10% youth aids cut and JCI rate increases, and that a copy of this resolution be sent to WCA area legislators and Governor Scott Walker. Fiscal note, the proposed 2011-13 budget cuts county youth aids allocations by 10% and increases the daily rate for juvenile corrections $284 per day July 1st, 2011, and to $289 July 1st, 2012, with a combined estimated impact for La Crosse County of $156,000 a year. I move for its approval.
Moved by Sharon Hampson, seconded by Tara Johnson. Discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
And one more, 431. Opposing the governor's proposed family care enrollment caps, which negatively impact the elderly, disabled, and developmentally disabled. Whereas under the family care program, long-term care services are provided to adults who are elderly, physically disabled or developmentally disabled, administered through Western Wisconsin Cares for La Crosse County and seven surrounding counties. Whereas the governor's proposed 2011-13 budget would cap family care enrollment as of June 20th, meaning no new persons could be enrolled except via attrition of current clients. Whereas denying access to family care abruptly breaks the promise of no wait list that the state made to these vulnerable populations when seeking to convince counties and stakeholders to abandon the old waiver system and adopt the family care model. Whereas several individuals seeking long-term care services will now need to be put on wait lists and will likely receive services regardless, either due to an emergency resulting from a lack of ongoing stabilizing services or as a result of loved ones petitioning the court for court-ordered services, both which would be at La Crosse County's expense and likely at an overall expense greater than if those individuals were served up front through family care, making the enrollment caps short-sighted and bad for taxpayers. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors opposes the governor's proposed enrollment caps on family care and that a copy of this resolution be sent to Wisconsin Counties Association, area legislators, and Governor Scott Walker. Fiscal note, precise impact of this change is difficult to estimate, but is likely to result in the cost of unserved clients to go back to the counties. I move for its approval and ask to retain the floor.
Moved by Sharon Hampson, seconded by Margaret Wood. Ms. Hampson.
I would refer you to the second whereas, where no new persons could be enrolled except via attrition of current clients. Just to be clear, that means death. Somebody has to die so that somebody else can get into family care. Just wanted to be really clear about that.
Any other discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That's it for you, Ms. Hampson. That gets us to Marilyn Pedretti with Planning Resources and Development.
Okay, item number 4-32, zoning petition 1865, filed by Scott and Christine Kaintz to rezone from Transitional Ag District to Ag District A in the town of Hamilton. I move for its approval subject to a recording of deed restriction.
Ms. Pedretti moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to recording of a deed restriction. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Bina. Any discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 4-33, I ask that it, I'm not sure what the proper terminology is, be postponed to next month.
Held over till next month.
The town of Onalaska is having some administrative difficulties. They have not held a plan commission meeting on this yet.
Jeff Blusky, is there any consequence of us doing that? I know there's all sorts of weird time rules. Are we okay on just holding it over?
Yes.
Okay, we don't have to send it back to committee or anything?
The town was supposed to meet on this, and they didn't have the legal notice out on time. They've recorded a 20-day extension, which actually ends on May 5th, so we're going to honor that 20-day extension. So if we get it, fine. If not, it goes to the county board in May.
Okay. All right. Any objection to holding that over till next regular county board meeting? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Any objection? Seeing none, that'll be held over.
Item 4-34, conditional use permit 827, filed by Tom Dummer, acting on behalf of Green Earth Compost Products, to amend existing conditional use permit number 690 on land zoned exclusive ag district in the towns of Holland and Onalaska. I move the committee's report with 13 conditions.
Ms. Pedretti moves the committee report, subject which is approval subject to 13 conditions, seconded by Mr. Bina. Is there any discussion or questions on this one? Jeff Schrader.
This would probably be a question for Jeff Blusky, if he would come back in. That's his area up there is getting pretty large. At what point would he have to have a non-metallic mining? What would be the definition of that?
If you take a look at the map on the back side, there's the black area that's kind of enclosing the whole operation. He's using just about every single inch of this. Toward the south and west of this is where he's going to add the gypsum. There's big brush piles and stumps and stuff back there that they grind up, and then they're going to mix the gypsum along with this. The food scraps that they're adding to this have to be buried. We're requiring it to be buried for 3 days before they start mixing it in order for it to properly decompose. He's about maxed out right now. To answer your question, he was going to be bagging this stuff, but he's just selling it retail right now. So if he gets into bagging this, there might be some more equipment that's already been allowed to be bagged and sold, but they just don't see that happening. Yeah, he's all legal. The other addition on there, Mr. Schrader, is they're going to add a scale because the trucks come in, they get weighed much like the landfill, and there's a pre-weight and then, or an empty weight and then a full weight when they end up leaving, so they know how many pounds of compost are being loaded. That's going to be a new addition as well.
Thank you. So as long as he stays within the perimeter or parameters that are there, he's okay.
And that's part of our enforcement. We've watched that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 4-35, conditional use permit number 828, filed by Paul and Julie Larson, acting on behalf of Sunray Dairy LLP, to build and operate a farmstead creamery business on land zoned exclusive ag district in the town of Farmington. I move its approval with the 13 conditions.
Ms. Pedretti moves to the committee report, which is approval subject to 13 conditions, seconded by Leanne Paff. Any discussion or questions on this one? Tara Johnson.
Is there a font size smaller than this?
This one didn't come with a magnifying glass. We're all getting older here. Thank you for your assistance. Discussion or questions? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 4-36, conditional use permit 829, filed by Keith Matheson, acting on behalf of Milestone Materials, a division of Matthey Construction Company, to operate under conditional use permit number 511 and non-metallic mining permit number 9 on land zoned exclusive ag district, transitional ag district, and ag district A in the town of Greenfield. I move for its approval with 9 conditions.
Ms. Pedretti moves the committee report, which is approval subject to 9 conditions. Is there a second? Seconded by Tina Weirs. Any discussion or questions on this one? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That it for you, Ms. Pedretti?
That is.
Thank you, ma'am. And that gets us to Mr. Spiker and Public Works and Infrastructure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 4-37. It's approved by Public Works Committee on a 5-1 vote. It's approved by the Legislative Committee on a 4-0 vote. Opposing proposed decrease in general transportation aids to counties for 2011-2013 state of Wisconsin budget. Whereas the 2011 and 2013 state budget places great priority on mega highway projects than local maintenance by proposing $420 million of funding for projects in southeastern Wisconsin, while also proposing a 10% reduction in general transportation aid to counties and municipalities of $43 million per year for county highways, local streets, and roadways. Whereas the reduction will amount to a loss of over $160,000 to La Crosse County Highway Department for 2012, which will have an adverse effect on local highways La Crosse County. Now, therefore, be resolved, La Crosse County Board of Supervisors go on record opposing the reduction of general transportation aids in the proposed 2011-2013 budget. Be it further resolved, a copy of this resolution be forwarded to local state representative, governor's office, and Wisconsin Counties Association. Fiscal note, La Crosse County has over $35 million in unfunded highway improvements, and this $160,000 would be used to pave 1.5 miles of roadway. I move for the committee report, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Mr. Spiker, second by Arlene Benrew. Discussion on this item, Mr. Geary.
Well, the problem with this is the segregated fund isn't a segregated fund. It's been slashed by hundreds of millions of dollars over the last few years, and they keep taking the money out for non-transportation purposes. If the fund would have never been raided, there wouldn't be any cuts. All the counties would be happy. Over the years, until these raids occurred on that fund, we've never had any complaints. All the counties have been treated fairly. the reference to a major highway project in eastern Wisconsin, I don't think is necessary. Those projects have been slashed over the last few years. Every time they raided the fund, they took the I think they took the bulk of the hits. If you look at it this way, eastern Wisconsin has more representatives than western Wisconsin. They pay more money into the fund than we do. So every time there's a major project in eastern Wisconsin, are we going to send a letter opposing that because we didn't get enough? I don't think that'll be good when there's major projects in western Wisconsin when they have more representation over there and they know they pay in more money, and they'll be complaining that we're getting too much money. We never bickered over this fund till it got slashed by previous administrations, and they took enormous amounts of money off. I think it's counterproductive to start saying somebody got something that we didn't get. On that $43 million, all 72 counties took the hit. And I think they set priorities when it comes to roads. It's like us setting a budget or anything else. When they build the Cass Street Bridge or something or a major project like that, do we want them complaining about it?
Leon Paff.
Just a minute, Steve.
Thank you. That is just Mr. Geary responding that that came out of the segregated fund. That's not true. This here was money that was to be used because it's not the deal with the segregated funds that were allowed anyway. This here was a project that he moved over to there that's taken out of the general fund, not or the general highway fund. It's not out of the segregated funds, if that clears anything up. Maybe Mr. O'Malley could address that a bit further.
Mr. O'Malley, and then I see Ron Chamberlain is out there too.
Ron's the expert in this area, but I don't think you could have said it any better, Leon. That's exactly the point. In addition to that, it would have been easy for the governor's budget to fund 90% of those projects and hold all counties harmless for maintenance. That was the point of this resolution, is $420 million worth of mega projects, while they cut $43 million to all other counties. Decreasing maintenance dollars when they've already been cutting us back. They've been cutting us back for several years in a row for maintenance while they're funding major projects. We're not saying they shouldn't do major projects, but they could have easily funded 90% of those and still held us harmless while they've been cutting us in previous years. The segregated funds is a separate issue, but I don't know if Ron wants to elaborate in any further.
Ron, anything to add to that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Yes, there is. Steve hit it right on the button. Basically, this amounts to, in my opinion, a cut to maintenance of roads, state trunk highways and county trunk highways, both in this particular issue, the county trunk highways. Furthermore, this impacts the locals. These transfers out impact the locals more than they would the DOT in two methodologies. One being that the town roads, the towns are taking a 3% hit across the board. They have no fix. They have very few employees to fix this. Secondly, the county highway cut is $160,000. Our fix from the budget repair bill is a whole grand total of $80,000. So there's not a whole bunch of makeup money coming back for this cut. Thank you.
Other discussion? Ralph Geary.
Do we have a rough estimate of how much money has been raided? I thought it was in the neighborhood of we're down $500 or $600 million. And if it wouldn't have been raided, I don't think we'd be looking at this.
They have raided hundreds of millions of dollars out of the transportation fund, then backfunding that money with borrowing, again, toward the transportation budget. As you know, they can't use bonding for operational needs. That, combined with the fact that the transportation budget has a much better bond rating than the rest of the state does. That said, eventually the transportation fund, as it's currently funded, is going to be a problem anyway. The gas taxes, we all know gas vehicles are getting more and more efficient because of the economy. People are driving less and less miles. So it's kind of a compound problem of multiple things like that.
Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just as a point of information, does this $420 million of funding that was put in for transportation from general purpose revenue, are we saying that this $420 million is not put into the transportation fund per se, but just funding the projects
The transportation fund is in essence even flat across the board last budget cycle to this budget cycle. The biggest change is that there's more majors. The Southwest Freeway System, 41 going up through the Fox Valley and others. In addition to that, there's more rehabilitation. Again, large projects. And again, in southern southeast Wisconsin, they're cutting the bread and butter, if you would, to the rest of the state, to not only the counties by doing that, but also to the private contractors in the various areas as well.
But my understanding was that in the proposed budget, that the one winner was transportation.
The transportation budget per Secretary Gottlieb is flat straight across the board, regardless of what the administration originally put out.
Chair Johnson?
I think to Supervisor Wood's point, though, the transportation fund is flat, but what they've decided to do is spend GPR on road building projects instead of passing it through the transportation fund. Isn't that correct? So to her point of the one big winner is transportation, it's not the highway department dollars, because counties and municipalities are being cut, but the funding of those major projects remains, and so the big winners, as some people use that terminology, will be the contractors who get the contracts to continue those projects or do those new projects directly, as opposed to having them travel through what used to be the transportation fund. So they're using revenues in a different way to pay for those major projects. Isn't that correct?
At this point, unaware of general purpose revenues coming out.
GPR, but there are still dollars being spent on road projects.
Definitely, and they're not raiding the transportation fund
right to
fund something else. So we're not being a piggy bank for all of the various programs. The transportation community is not being a piggy bank for all the various programs that they have to balance the budget this time.
Okay,
but they are still funding the mega projects out of that.
Right, and so back to Supervisor Wood's point, the big winners are those who benefit from those majors projects.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Any further discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor of the resolution, say aye. Opposed, no. One no, Mr. Geary. That passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad we woke everybody up. I had a little discussion. Approval of utility easement agreement request by the Village of West Salem is approved unanimously by Public Works Committee. Whereas the Village of West Salem here in the Village has requested a perpetual easement across La Crosse County here in county property from the La Crosse River to a village stormwater detention pond in order to expand the current width of the utility easement from 10 feet to 30 feet. Whereas the Village agrees that at the time that a water main is installed in the easement area, Village shall install at its own cost a curb stop for the county to tap into the future. And whereas the Village also agrees that at no time currently or in the future shall the county be assessed for a water main or sewer line installation or upgrade through easement area. And whereas it is the best interest of La Crosse County to grant expanded easement. Now therefore be resolved that La Crosse County Board does hereby authorize the County Board Chair to sign the utility easement agreement after approval of the Corporation Council, granting the Village of West Salem a perpetual 30-foot wide easement for sanitary sewer facilities, water main facilities through Veterans Memorial Park at the location previously granted to the Village. Fiscal note, the approval of the expanded easement is at no cost to La Crosse County. I move for committee approval.
Moved by Mr. Spiker, seconded by Mr. Paff. Any discussion or questions on this one? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 439. Resolution opposing elimination of municipal recycling mandate. Public Works Committee approved it unanimously. Legislative Committee approved it unanimously. Whereas recycling provides extensive economic benefits, providing material for manufacturing, business development, state and local tax revenue, preserving our natural resources, saving energy, and reducing our impact on the environment. And whereas the strength of Wisconsin recycling program comes from the mandate in 1990, causing municipalities to respond by becoming responsible units for recycling, as such, invested millions of dollars in education, collection, and processing infrastructure for effective recycling programs. Whereas the 2011-2013 budget seeks to eliminate the requirement that municipalities operate a recycling program, eliminates all financial assistance for municipal recycling program, converts the recycling and renewable energy segregated fund to a newly created economic development fund, and diverts revenue collected on the landfill tipping fee surcharge into the fund. Whereas the state of Wisconsin has taken more than $140 million a year away from the recycling and renewable energy segregated fund since 1990 to pay for the other state programs instead of their intended purpose. Now, therefore, be resolved that La Crosse County Board supports the continued use of landfill tipping fee surcharge as a source of funding financial assistance municipalities as it was intended for that purpose, instead of being diverted to the Economic Development Fund. Be further resolved, La Crosse County Board opposes elimination of municipal recycling requirements and recycling grant programs, and a copy of this resolution be sent to Wisconsin County Association, area legislators, and Governor Scott Walker. Fiscal note, the recycling fee is generated by a $7 per ton surcharge on solid waste disposal. Because the waste-to-energy facility and special waste are exempt from the recycling fee in La Crosse County, the fee in the collected and approximately 45,700 tons, or at least $320,000, to take them from our local communities. I move for committee report and ask that Hank be heard.
Moved by Mr. Dyker, second by Ms. Wood. Any objection to Hank Cook being heard? Hank, can you come on up? Certainly, Mr. Schrader.
I thought that Governor Walker backed off on his proposal to do this.
That's the discussion at this point. Hank, do you have any update on that or anything further?
The latest update that we have heard is that he is beginning to back off, that he is suggesting that the funding would be decreased from what it was in the past rather than zero. But there has been some talk also that unless your community has 25,000 residents or you combine with adjacent communities to have 25,000 residents, chances are you may not get some of that funding. We're getting changes every day on emails, so this is a developing situation.
Other questions or discussion? Maureen Friedland.
Yes, after we vote on this, could I ask Mr. Cook to stay where he is and to invite everybody to the Solid Waste Policy Board annual meeting, which is on May 4th. One of the topics of discussion is the future of recycling, and I think that perhaps many people might be interested in hearing about that after we vote.
All right. Hank, do you have anything else to add?
No, that recycling is very important to our communities, and we need to continue to support recycling.
Further discussion or questions? Chuck Spiker.
This is just a simply tremendous program. I have a letter here. There's 165 sponsors that spoke up in opposition to what the governor proposes. And it makes sense to take the fee we get from the DNR is $13. We take seven of that for use for recyclable. It makes sense. Doesn't make a lot of sense. But I'm not opposed to economic development. But it doesn't oppose, is a purpose to keep stuff out of the landfill. So you recycle. It's real simple. Thank you.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Hank.
As Maureen mentioned, and each of you should have received invites, on May 4th, Wednesday, we're having the annual meeting for the Solid Waste Department. That is something we always do on an annual basis for our stakeholders. The topic this year is going to be on recycling, and Professor John Caters from the University of Green Bay is going to be there. He's done some remarkable things in this. He has some very good ideas, And our consultant, our new consultant, SEH, is going to be there. They have some great case studies for you to hear about that will really address this topic. Can more of the communities in La Crosse County work together and decrease our costs? So this will be a very good topic.
Any questions of Hank on that one? Okay. Encourage people to attend. Thank you, Hank. All right. That's it for you then, Mr. Spiker?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's jump back to the beginning then. Under communications and announcements, would anybody have any objection to us holding over the Western Wisconsin CARES report, given that we have a lot of people gone tonight because of the weather? Any objection to holding that over? All right. Seeing none. Supervisor conference reports, anybody have any that we need to hear tonight? Ms. Pedretti?
I'll make this very quick.
That's fine.
We attended the March 28th, 29th in Madison, the Wisconsin Associated County Extension Committee's a WASAC meeting. It's an opportunity for us to interact with other UW Extension departments, which is what's part of zoning. We attended a couple of breakout sessions, and we also met with legislators. The reason I want to acknowledge is that Bob Kyle was recognized at the annual award ceremony for 5 years of service to the La Crosse County Planning, Resources, and Development Committee. It's our local committee that provides that oversight for UW Extension, so congratulations to Bob.
Thank you, Ms. Pedretti. He just stepped out, I think, to go to the restroom. Otherwise, we could congratulate him so we can cheer when he comes back in. Any other supervisor conference reports? All right. Administrator report, Mr. O'Malley.
Yes, just very quickly. Just a reminder that May 9th meeting, we've got two major agenda items for the policy planning. Obviously, redistricting will be a significant discussion. And then because of a number of issues with the gas to energy bids, that we'll be asking for your approval of bid award that night. We'll actually put that on for vote. There will be a special meeting of Public Works and the Executive Committee prior to that meeting dealing with that. We're moving the zoning ordinance that was originally going to be on the May agenda to the June agenda so that we have sufficient time for these two significant issues. Clarification on the Law Enforcement Center dedication date, a typo by myself. It's May 5th, not May 4th. May 5th, which is a Thursday at 4:30, so that's in your agenda packet. Please, we'll be putting out a program on that. And before you leave, make sure that if you've got any corrections, I know at least one supervisor made a correction in the spelling of their name, so please make sure, because this is going to be like your last chance to get it right. It'll be there forever, so it's, or at least as long as the building is. And then finally, obviously, I could spend a lot of time on this, but you've seen all the publicity that Keith and Jay have gotten recently of their great work in emergency response and emergency preparedness. Obviously, we've kind of dodged some difficulties as a community with the river has crested at 1310. It's back down around 13. Jeff, I know, has been watching this for obvious reasons very closely over there in the town of Campbell. I could go into a lot of details, but I don't want to steal the thunder. I'm sure Jeff might want to comment more.
No, I'm not going to comment anymore. They've done a wonderful job. They, you know, cooperated with town of Campbell, everybody that was going to be in need. But what I just wanted to add something. When you got done with what you were going to say.
No, go ahead. You've got the mic. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, I thought I'm running. All right, Mr. Schrader.
No, this is a concern. Evidently, the city of La Crosse moved the gauge where they gauge the water now, and everybody was relying on that. So when the water is at, they say, 13 feet, it's not. It's actually almost a foot higher than what it is. And they moved the gauging area down to Isle of Plume or someplace down there. Somebody needs to talk to the city of La Crosse because there's a lot of people, both in Minnesota and Wisconsin, that rely on the river stage to figure out what they have to do.
Maybe you weren't supposed to notice when they moved it. I don't. I don't know anything about it. I guess our city council people are gone. They're over at their meeting, so we can check with them and find out what that's all about. Yeah. I don't know.
And I'll pass that message on to Keith and have him look into it. That's the end of my report, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. O'Malley. Mr. Kyle is back. Ms. Pedretti. mentioned that you received some recognition recently, and we want to commend you on that. All right, Corp Counsel report. Yes, I do have the ability to have people arrested.
He's got a lot of power. I was asked the two questions, and just I hope that my memo goes into enough detail to give you some information on those. But basically, on the question of what power does the chair have, it's stated in both the statute that I've cited, 5911, subsection 4, and our own county ordinance, that he can direct the sheriff to issue a warrant to bring a supervisor to a meeting who is missed or absent without cause. The thing I found interesting about this question as I looked into it, a couple things. If you recall, I think the question kind of resulted from the issue with the Democrats leaving the state and the various leaders that remained having concerns about trying to bring them back. There are more restrictions on the state legislators in terms of when they can be arrested than there are on U.S. County Board supervisors. So just be aware that it is true that the County Board Chair does have that power if you are absent without cause. So
it'll be nice to me.
The question, of course, is whether the sheriff would actually do it. I don't have an answer for you on that one. Supposedly he has the authority to do it, but whether he would, it's another matter. The second question was the when does a motion become the motion of the board, and really the point that it becomes owned by the board, if you will, is when the chair places the motion before the board. So up until that point in time, the maker of the motion and the seconder, person that seconds the motion, can either withdraw it or amend it. But as soon as the chair puts the motion to the body, then it belongs to the meeting as a whole, and either through unanimous consent or a vote, it can be modified or withdrawn. So that's the break point. I don't recall at what point we were when that issue came up, but in further research of Robert's Rules, and I've spelled out some of the statements that are made in Robert's Rules so that you can read through that. But that's really where the change occurs.
So, Bill, would that be at the point then that the chair says, move by Supervisor X, seconded by Supervisor Y? That is that magic moment in time?
Yes.
Okay.
Up
right.
until that point. And oftentimes you say it pretty quickly, so there isn't much time
do
it without asking for consent of the body.
Okay.
But
all right.
You can, and I think frequently what happens, I think the chair does ask, for permission of the body to, to allow the amendment, and oftentimes there is no objection, and it occurs without a vote, and that's permissible.
Okay. Any questions on either of those items? Ralph Curry.
I think someone brought up the point about who makes a second, but according to you, whoever makes a second really has no status other than being a member of the body. Remember, when somebody wants to withdraw, that they always kind of refer to as the one that made a second have to concur. They don't, right?
Right. After it's presented to the body, it's the body, the board in this case.
Well, even before it's presented to the body, the seconder has no status.
Does the seconder have to agree if the maker of the motion wants to withdraw it?
No, I think it's up to the maker of the motion as to whether or not he's willing to withdraw.
Okay.
Prior to that.
So if the maker wants to withdraw it and the seconder doesn't want it withdrawn, too bad. Seconder then could just make the motion himself or herself, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay. Sharon Hampson.
In the case of an amendment to a motion, does the seconder have to agree on that? That's the way we've been running things.
Well, there has to be a second, and if it depends on how the events have taken place. If it
Okay, so say there's a motion on the floor. It's been moved and seconded, and it's an amendment.
Right.
And then the mover says, I withdraw it. Does the seconder have to be consulted then?
If it's moved by the person who originally made the amendment, yes, there has to be a second.
Okay, and another unrelated question. When you move the committee report, do you require a second to that? Another board I was on said that if you're moving the committee report, no second is required.
Do you want to research that one?
You can look it up.
I know that oftentimes organizations have rules, their own rules, but I'm that's a good question. Let me check and report back to you on that one next meeting.
Any other questions for Bill on either of these topics? Okay. Is that it for you then, Bill?
Yes.
Okay. Leon Paff.
One question that we ran across the other night, told me when there was a motion on the floor, it was duly seconded in with discussion, but then in the middle of the discussion, it was decided that the person that had the motion on the floor pulled it off the floor and moved to a different motion, not an amendment to it. But would that have had to been voted on, or could they technically pull that off the floor without any vote on that and just end discussion on that? The chairman ended the discussion on that it was pulled off the floor and moved on to the next completely different motion.
Well, from the way you've described it, I'm assuming that because there was discussion, it was put on the floor by the chair. At that point, then it has to receive either the unanimous consent of the body if there's no objection to the person. Did you say withdrawing it or modifying it? I forget.
No,
what
they
withdrew it.
The person withdrew it, and the one that seconded it. Then they asked that the person who seconded it if they were willing to withdraw it, and they said yes. But what you're saying is the whole body would have had to act on that motion or not?
Right, right. Either they do it, you know, the chair could say something like, is there any objection to withdrawing the motion? If the chair sees no objection, the motion is withdrawn. But if there is one person that objects to the withdrawal of the motion at that point, then there would need to be a vote on whether or not the motion would be allowed to be withdrawn. So it's not just the seconder, it's the entire body, and it would be a majority vote. Probably who knows what the discussion is at that point, but a majority vote would in favor of allowing the motion to be withdrawn would be required.
Any other questions for Bill? All right. Thank you, Bill, for looking into that.
Sure.
That gets us to cards and correspondence. That's over on the board. As always, committee meetings during recess, there were none. Anybody not get the envelope for the flower fund? Okay, I didn't yet, so if you could get it to me yet. Jill had, we're at suggestions for future agenda topics and announcements.
Thank you. I have an announcement. I just actually would like to draw your attention to the piece that was on your desk prepared by Jason and Human Services staff. It's titled Governor Walker's Proposed 2011-2013 Budget Summary of Impact on Client Benefits. I think with the Governor Walker's proposed budget, there's a lot that affects counties and a lot of information to take in and a lot to keep straight. And I think this is a really nice document that was brought together that talks about the different programs and human services that are impacted and the number of people in our county who are recipients of some of the services and will be impacted by them. So I thank him for pulling this together. He's done a marvelous job, as has Doug, with the health department and helping us talk with our legislators about how this affects counties and services that we provide for populations that are elderly and some vulnerable and people who really need these services. So I I think it's helpful for you, and I want to thank him and staff for the great job that they're doing. And boy, did we pick a great human services director.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Ms. Billings. Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am thinking about tonight and how rushed I felt as a county board supervisor sitting here to try and get votes taken before we lost a bunch of members. And I know that we are required by statute to meet within 2 weeks of, or other villages boards and the cities are required to have their initial meetings within 2 weeks of the elections. I know that we, in April, for this reorganizational meeting, tend to meet on Tuesdays. I'm just thinking that maybe we should look at what our options might be for 2 years from now, so that this body doesn't feel that same compression and overlap. No?
I don't think we can change the day. I think it has to be Tuesday. We could change the time, but I don't.
Well, whatever we need
day.
To do, because it is concerning that there are so many people
sure.
who weren't here initially and then couldn't stay for the entire meeting, or you know had to split their allegiances because of the timing of this meeting. So I would just ask
sure.
us to
no,
look
that,
at those options.
Yeah,
and
that's
see
a good point. I believe the statute says you have to meet somewhere. The first Tuesday after the election, if I'm correct. So it would have to be tonight, but it could have been 5 o'clock or whatever.
Or talk with those other municipalities and
they might have the same
something.
Restrictions too.
I disagree. I think state statute says when they're elected. No one was elected tonight on this county board. I don't think we have to meet on this Tuesday. State statute says on an election in order to get sworn in within so many days of an election. We have our town board meeting on a different night. It just has to be within so many days of that election. There's no election tonight for any of us.
We'll research that one. It's a good point. Ralph Geary.
Were we going to get something on Skipper Liner tonight, or I thought you said at the last meeting we're going to get a 5-minute update on what's going on, but maybe we're not.
It wasn't on the agenda. You're right, though. We had said we were going to, so we will put it on policy planning.
You might as well throw on Park, if there's nothing on Park Plaza. But
there's nothing particularly huge to announce, but we'll put that on policy planning. Thank you. That was an oversight.
Park Plaza, we shouldn't coming up either.
Yeah. So, Ginny, if you'll make a note for policy planning. Jeff Schrader.
I think Leon Baff needs to make a little announcement.
Oh, that's right. Leon shouldn't actually be here tonight. But thanks to his loyalty to our organization, he is here. But in development in his family. Leon?
That's correct.
He did not have a baby.
No. One of my babies, Sean, my second son, which most of you know, is being sworn in at this hour as mayor of Fitchburg, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So he's,
that Paff dynasty is spreading
he's
eastward.
He's moving along. Yep.
Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Joint Finance Committee is having a meeting here in La Crosse on April 25th from 1 until 7 at the Cartwright Center.
Well, but it's not the Joint Finance.
Oh.
It's the
what is it
Democrats.
Oh.
Not the committee itself. It's the Democrats.
Well, they were all invited.
Okay.
They could be there.
All right.
But in room 339 at Cartwright Center, and as Chuck Spiker was giving his report tonight, I was hoping that some of that information, or from other committee chairs, if you could share with that committee the impact of the proposed budget on each part of our county organization. So I hope that many people will come and share some information that was in the resolutions tonight and even more.
Thank you. Any other announcements or items for future agendas? I guess that gets us to Bob Kyle. Motion to adjourn by Bob Kyle, seconded by Don Bina. All in favor say aye. Opposed no. Carried unanimously.